Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to The Art of Charm. I'm Jordan Harbinger. The Art of Charm brings together the best coaches in the industry to teach you guys how to crush it in life, love, and at work. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors teaching you their expertise, packing decades of research, testing, and tough lessons into a concise curriculum. We've created one of the premier men's lifestyle programs available anywhere, and it's free. This is the show we wish we had a decade ago. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best man you can be in every area of your life. Make sure to stay up to date with everything going on here and get some killer free ebooks as well as drills and exercises that'll help you become more charismatic and confident by signing up for the newsletter at theartofcharm.com. If you're new to the show but you want to know more about what we teach here at The Art of Charm, listen to the toolbox at theartofcharmpodcast.com/toolbox. That's where you'll get the fundamentals of dating and attraction, such as body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, all that stuff that's more important than you might think. We've got boot camps running every single month here in California. Details at theartofcharm.com, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you guys here at The Art of Charm. Enjoy. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Here with AJ again on a toolbox doing some relationship red flags. You know, the stuff that she does, and as AJ, you brought up before the show, the stuff that you do that kind of says undateable.
Exactly.
I think it's... You made a really good point right before we started to right before we flicked the switch here. You'd said, listen, you know, you're always going to date somebody that's got one or two of these. And also, you got to look in the mirror sometimes. I think that's important.
Yeah. So as we work our way through this list, it's important to realize not only is potentially your new significant other exhibiting these, or are you in a way being jealous, being needy? Because those things can push her away. You know, at the start, at the honeymoon phase, as we like to call it, it's kind of easy to look over a lot of these things. Yeah. The sex is great. It's great to have a companion. But these ultimately can make or break a relationship later on. That's why I wanted to let you guys know ahead of time that these are some things to look for in a person that could come to hurt you later on.
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent point. You know, these are things that fester over time. And also, you're going to – anybody you date is going to have – 1, 2, 3 of these things. Maybe some appear over time and others go away. But the problem is you got to look at these in sort of like clumps, right?
Yeah, it's baggage. Does she need a bellhop or, you know, is she packed light?
It's sort of one of those things you have to look at as a whole. You can't sit there and go, oh, well, you know, she talks about her ex a little bit. So adios and everything else is in place. Some people have to be forgiven for certain things. If you start finding yourself making excuses like, yeah, she's jealous and crazy, but man, she's hot. And she always blames her ex for all the relationship difficulties, but, you know, she's really good in bed. Oh, you know, and also she's not really respectful of me, but she's really cool when she is. If you start rationalizing stuff like that all the time, you're going to end up miserable. So it really is about the whole equation, I think, is you sort of brought up before we flicked the switch here and started recording. Because I honestly think that, and obviously nobody's perfect, so you can't take a list of 20 things and be like, oh, you had a shade of one of those last week, so I'm going to dump you.
Yeah. In my mind, there's really 3 layers of compatibility and chemistry, so to speak, that we need to be aware of. We're meeting someone new. The first one's obviously physical. As you guys know, we're pretty big on the physical, making sure that the sex is great and we feel satisfied there. There's also the emotional. Does she become overreactive at times? Do your emotions match each other? Do you see that she's laid back and maybe you're high strung? That's very important. And then the third is the intellectual. Obviously, if you're meeting someone and you're trying to start a relationship, you're going to spend a lot of time not being physical, a lot of time talking with each other. Can you carry a conversation? Does she have the same interests intellectually as you? A lot of times we sacrifice those things simply for the physical, and then we're going to look past some of these red flags that point to those imbalances in that chemistry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you got to have all of those pieces in place. Otherwise, your relationship's not going to work out long term. We've seen it happen a million times as coaches. People who are paying attention have seen it a million times just in the divorce rate here in the States and everywhere else for that matter. So what first do we look for? I mean, in my experience, especially, by the way, this is not a list of online dating red flags. There's a million of those. That's not what this is about. You can apply some of these things to the girls you're dating from websites if you're doing that, but don't try to recalibrate this for someone's profile or something. It can get messy and sticky when you start to do that.
Right. This is for the phase of getting to know each other after going on the second or third date and really exploring the option of a relationship. These are things you're going to look for in the way that she's behaving or some of the things that she's saying that can lead to issues later on down the road.
So one of the things that I think happens, especially to younger people, but still everyone's susceptible to this, is do you like her or do you just like that she likes you? And biology dictates that people who are accessible to us are more attractive, but you don't want to take that to an extreme and go, oh, well, I never looked at her before, but now maybe I am kind of interested. It's like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers where he's like, is she not interested? Am I not interested? Is she starting to get interested? So maybe now I'm interested. It's kind of like that. But you definitely don't want to be thinking, oh, you know what? I didn't care about Janet at all. But now that I heard she has a crush on me, I'm going to do that. Because then you're just looking for validation. You're basically just stringing this person on or teasing them. And it feels good to you at the time because you feel like you're getting some validation. Your ego's getting a nice little dopamine rush. But it's bullshit in the end.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to give her back that time that she spent on you. So that's really important. That can lead to a boatload of resentment that you don't want to be on the receiving end of.
Exactly. And we'll probably have to do another show about how to let someone down easy, but this is not the format for that, or at least not the time. She moves too quickly. Is she afraid to be alone? Does she think being in a relationship will solve all of her life issues and problems? This is one of those where you got to look in the mirror, because honestly, I think it's really hard to know somebody that early that well, but you damn well sure know if you're just afraid to be alone, especially if you're on the rebound from another girl and you think, oh, you know, if I get a girlfriend, then I'll feel confident and then I'll be able to get more friends and then I'll be able to da-da-da-da-da. It's the other way around. So if you're trying to be in a relationship because of that, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, if she has her toothbrush in her purse and she's ready to move in and you're, you know, kind of on the fence, but again, the physical might be there, this is something to pay attention to, because a lot of women, especially coming out of a previous relationship, are clinging to that other person and need that in their lives. And you don't want to fall into a situation where you rush things with someone that you didn't really know. And
right.
In fact, a lot of guys that are sitting on our couch on Tuesday for programs here at the Art of Charm have this issue. One of the biggest things is they feel that they settle too easily because she pushed really hard and she moved things really fast. So you're like, yeah, you know what? This sounds good.
Yeah.
And that rationalization can lead to obviously a trip to the Art of Charm, but also a lot of heartbreak.
Not that there's anything wrong with the trip to the Art of Charm, but yes. And also you can tell these little sort of sub red flags here are asking for intimacy or exclusivity way too early. You know, the girl that you're on a second date with and she says, oh, I want to make sure that you're serious. Da, 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 da. We hear stories about this all the time from certain types of girls. And it's like, whoa, man, she put her engagement timeline on the table on the first date.
Right. This you guys like, talked about kids at Starbucks.
Yeah. It sounds like a business transaction. Now, sometimes you might get into the topic of conversation about children and life desires. That's different than how many kids do you want? When do you want to be married by? You know, I'm 29, so I got to have a ring by September. That is all very unappealing. And also, quite frankly, crap judgment, evidence of crap judgment. And you definitely don't want somebody with crap judgment in a partner. That's a terrible trait to have.
Rushing into big time life decisions needlessly can definitely lead to heartbreak.
Yeah, the other thing is definitely, and this is very obvious to most and also a little bit more rare, but not as rare as it should be. You've got to pay attention. If she puts you ahead of her kids, you got to pay attention. You might think I'm the man and she's, you know, really invested in our relationship. Look, she gets a babysitter or her mom takes care of the kids every weekend so we can hang out. That is how she's going to treat you later on in the relationship. She's going to put other people, other things ahead of you. Those are her kids. You've been dating for X number of weeks or months. Get some perspective. She doesn't have it. Get out of there.
Right. I mean, anytime you're dealing with someone who has children from a previous relationship, it is important to sort of look at the relationship they have with their children and where they prioritize that and obviously where you fall in line. Someone you're meeting for the first time to jump to the front of their list above even their job. You know, sometimes they can prioritize you to the detriment of their career. Especially early on, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, that's definitely not something you want to be dealing with in terms of a partner. And also, are they fresh out of a relationship? You know, if you've been through a breakup, which we all have, you know that it takes a long time to get over that completely. So if she's fresh out of a relationship, she's recovering, that doesn't really give her the opportunity or time, et cetera, or focus to really concentrate and focus on you. And so that also leads to the fact that she very well might be using you to fill up her loneliness. And this could be subconscious. This doesn't mean she's like, I'm lonely, I'm going to get another boyfriend. It's just something that happens when there's a vacuum in your heart because somebody else left, especially if they mistreated her, you know, or cheated on her. All that baggage, so fresh, that open wound is right there. You might think, wow, I met this incredible person. She's bending to squeeze you in there. It's not a good fit. And even if it is, you don't know that. Neither does she.
She probably hasn't fully healed from the situation. And when that occurs, a lot of baggage from the previous boyfriend could be dumped on your lap, dealing with the way he treated her versus the way you're treating her.
Exactly.
So that's a situation where you tread lightly. Now, we're all going to be in situations where we're meeting people who are getting out of a relationship and who are on a rebound. That's fine. But those are the situations where you take slowly. You don't rush into things. And that's why we call this a red flag.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, respect sort of comes into play here. Speaking of, if you have to think, and this is the quote we're going to get back in emails from guys who are like, oh my God, you guys are right. If you have to think about whether or not she's treating you with respect, you're thinking too hard already. If she shows up late, she acts rude to your friends or you for that matter, she's overly demanding, you got to say goodbye. You deserve better. You got to stop making excuses for her. We do this with people in our lives all the time. Our bosses, our family members, you definitely don't want to have to do it for your girlfriend. So knock it off.
Yeah, you should never be her doormat. She should not be walking all over you. And if you don't respect yourself, she's not going to respect you. And part of respecting yourself is not letting those people into your life.
Exactly. You set up boundaries early because even a nice girl who finds that you're a doormat is going to start to sort of grow into that. And that might mean that she starts resenting the fact that you don't have boundaries. So she starts to test you and you keep failing by trying to please her. That's how your marriage fell apart, dude, who's listening to this right now. That's how it happened, and you know it. Everybody's got their little quirks, like we said. You know, some people are going to have some of these. Some people are going to have a lot. It's up to you to sort of find that balance. You just got to make sure you're not rationalizing. But if she can't stand your quirks now, she's going to resent them later, and she's going to resent you later. If she's always correcting your behavior in a serious way, you know, she's going to hate that about you. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Setting boundaries early is how it happens. You don't set boundaries when you've been married for 20 years. Ask any married guy ever.
And think about it, right? If she's already pointing that out in the honeymoon, what's going to happen when other shit's hitting the fan?
Yeah.
Those are going to become glaring issues to her, and it's going to undermine your relationship.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, look for that same pattern in other people. If she's got frequent fallings out with other people, she's got a revolving door of friends in her life. You ask her who her best friend is, and she has to think about it for a while. All of her friends are people she's met in the last 6 months to a year. Big problems. Dramatic, crazy women, inability to tolerate other people. That is a giant issue.
Right. I mean, her ability to nurture other relationships in her life is important. If you find that she's a bit of a loner or her relationships tend to be very surface level, there could become a codependence there that could be really troubling where, let's say, further on down the line, God forbid you do have to break up, you're the only person in her life.
Yeah.
Imagine how capable she's going to be of getting back on her feet after something like that. So if you're seeing these signs, right, these are red flags, right? If you're seeing that you want to have a guy's night out and she's like, I'm just going to sit at home because I have nothing going on, or she doesn't really get along very well with her coworkers and everything is overdramatic, and it seems like in her mind the world is out to get her, she's playing the victim, it's only going to get worse as the relationship progresses.
Yeah, I think you're spot on here. I mean, if the only – the way you can look at this also is if the only people in her life are people that she sees like once every month or every week, if that – you don't know that you don't go, oh, you know what? She's got plenty of friends that she's known forever, like some person that she worked with for a while or some people that she doesn't see very often who work at the gym or something like that. You have to look at close relationships of people that she spent a lot of time around and sees regularly, because if you try to measure just by the time she's known someone, that's a problem. The more time she spends or the more time a crazy person spends with somebody, the more likely a blow up is to occur. So if all of their close friends are people they met while out partying, they can't really trust anybody close, that's a big problem. It's going to happen to you, or she's going to push you away. It's just not worth having that. You're just the only if you're the guy who's friends with the girl that doesn't have any close friends, you're not just the center of her universe. You're just the late one to the party who hasn't figured out that she's got issues that need to be dealt with.
Right. Odds are she's pushed other people away and you're going to be on the receiving end at some point. And it's important to realize that we need to be able to have quality relationships outside of with the opposite sex. It's very important to having a healthy, happy lifestyle. So if you find that you are the center of her universe and then all of a sudden you're no longer willing to be part of that universe, guess what? It's going to be pretty awful.
Yeah, it's gonna be really messy. And speaking of time frames, people who are involved in activities that are sort of short-lived, like those people, especially in LA, this happens a lot. Whenever she starts something new, it's amazing. Everyone's got to know how awesome it is. Everyone's got to do it with her. But then like 2-3 weeks later or 2-3 months later, the yoga mat's in the corner or whatever, and nobody's doing it anymore. Normal girls far less frequently do new things, but by comparison, you know, they love the things that they do less, and they stick with these things more often for longer periods of time. So people who have a few hobbies, they get good at it, they've been doing it for a few years, much better than the person who signs up for something and then doesn't even finish like the introductory class to that particular topic. The difference is mostly time orientation. You know, crazy people, and we're using the term crazy pretty loosely, they pick things that make them feel good right now. Stimulation goes away, fades out. That's a problem. And that's going to happen. That's a metaphor for your relationship.
Yeah, it's a little bit of commitment, right? And our good buddy Robbie always says, how you do anything is how you do everything. So if she can't stick with yoga and then she's turning on to CrossFit and then the next thing you know, she's retiring those running shoes and now she's doing Pilates, all within the 3 weeks you've known her, she's probably had some significant commitment issues. And that's running the gamut from not only her hobbies and the way she looks at fitness, but also the way she views all activities. And ultimately, you're going to be next to the yoga mat in a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. The distinction to be made here is there's some people that try a lot of new things, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with trying things to see what fits. The difference is, are they doing it because they get an endorphin rush or dopamine rush from doing something new that's cool and trendy? Or are they in it for personal growth and personal development? So they tried running, didn't like it, tried CrossFit, didn't like it, love yoga. But if they've done 10 different things and now we're on to number 11, you start to get a feel for their pattern. And, you know, a lot of people who have healthy hobbies do it for getting out of the house, relaxing, personal growth. If they're doing it for stimulation, that's no good.
And the other thing is the language she's using, right? Always talking about in extremes. Oh, my God, this is amazing. But everything you hear out of her mouth is amazing. You got to start to wonder, okay, how can this be, right? So someone who talks in absolutes like that doesn't really have a firm grasp on reality and is probably not looking at things clearly. So right now she may be looking at you as being everything's amazing. This is the best new thing. But in a few weeks, as I said, you might be sitting next to the yoga mat unused.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I suppose you could always eat dinner on the floor. Speaking of that, if she's acting rudely, disrespecting other people during the date, or especially mistreats parents, family, or friends in front of you, especially like people that are service positions that she deems of having no real value, like the cab driver. If she's a crazy person to the cab driver, the waiter, the valet, one day you are going to be on the receiving end of this, and it's not going to be just once. It's going to be once she stops seeing you as somebody who she needs or that she loves, you know, like she did the day you guys met. That's you.
Yeah, this is kind of linked to the relationship-friendship angle, right? If she struggles with human communication and dealing with people in a respectful manner, people that are helping her, people that are beneath her, whether it's a janitor or a homeless person or the valet, odds are that she's a little out there in terms of mental stability. And as Jordan said, you're going to be on the receiving end of that, except in a much more painful way when she's moving her shit out of your place.
Yeah, definitely. Now, jealousy is a huge issue that we talk about a lot. People write in all the time. It's one of the most annoying things that you'll have to deal with in your own life. And so you got to kind of calibrate this because everybody gets jealous. But jealous lovers, though, looking back on the conventional wisdom and looking back at all the flags, it's always 20/20 hindsight. Jealous lovers are obvious from the start. If you're on a date with somebody who's got a jealous streak, you can look for the following signs. Asking way too many questions about your past relationships. Asking too many questions about the type of person you're attracted to. What else, AJ?
I mean, needing to see your phone, right? If she's grabbing your phone or she's looking over your shoulder at everything you're doing. Those moments where maybe she's sneaking around on your laptop on the second date, she's checking her email, but she's going through your bookmarks. Like, those are little signs that she's not trustworthy because right. she doesn't trust you yet. And yeah. there's no reason, if you're starting a relationship at the very beginning, to have that much distrust, right? That's understandable if something has been amiss, if you have done something to make her feel that lack of trust. But in the very beginning, if she just starts off very untrustworthy of things and is constantly asking you a zillion questions, well, where'd you go with your boys? Where exactly were you at? How long are you there? Who were you with? Who's this girl? Why'd she like you on Facebook? Stuff like that early on can point to a very strong jealous streak that is never going to be overcome. That's the thing. Like, if she can't control her jealousy at the very beginning, when again, at the start of a relationship, everyone is presenting their best side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're seeing the best version of her. So if the best version of her has a strong jealous streak, then imagine how that streak's going to look on the worst side of her when you may have screwed up, or maybe you didn't screw up, but she felt you had screwed up.
Right.
So anytime I've been in a situation where girls ask a heck of a lot of questions about my past, have a lot of interest in my Facebook and sniffing around there, and who grab my phone when I'm not around or are peeking over my shoulder when I'm texting my friend, those are huge red flags to me.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I can just imagine some girl looking through my bookmarks. It'd be like Facebook, Pornhub, Facebook, Facebook, Pornhub, Pornhub, Facebook, Pornhub, Facebook, Gmail. That's nothing really interesting in there.
I love that Gmail is number 10.
Yeah.
Understand why you don't answer my emails.
Priorities. too good to be true. You know, you ever notice those pillows on the couch and they've got like a little embroidered proverb? Your grandma probably made some. The world is literally – no, it's not literally. The world is figuratively, not literally, decorated with those little pillows that offers some sort of expression about how things that appear to be too good to be true are BS. It's natural when you're first dating somebody to put your best foot forward, but it's not natural to be full of crap and lie about stuff. In the best case scenario, somebody who appears too good to be true is probably really insecure, anxious, feels that they have to embellish or impress people. There's an underlying fear here that they're not interesting. The worst case scenario, they're a sociopath.
Yeah. I don't like either of those scenarios, to tell you the truth. I like a little imperfection in anyone that I'm with, and I like who I'm with actually to be able to be comfortable with my imperfections as well. So anyone who tries too desperately to hide all of their imperfections is a red flag.
Hey, Art of Charm listeners. I'm excited to share a new podcast I've been absolutely binging. Winning is an everyday mindset, and Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. On Ways to Win podcast, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
We have hired a lot of team members over the last 17 years. Going through endless resumes, well, that's a time sink. But you know what else is a time sink? Interviewing endless people. Because they're all going to give you the best face forward.
That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/charm. Terms and conditions apply.
Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get back to the show. You know, back up to the respect topic, people that don't give you notice or are late all the time and don't let you know about that, that's also a respect thing. I wanted to touch on that from before. You know, that's one of the key indicators of how they treat other people and how they respect other people's time and quite frankly, their own time. And it's
how they value you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about the things in your life that you truly value. Would you show up late to them? Would you blow them off? No. No one would do that. So the fact that she's blowing you off or showing up late and being disrespectful shows you that she doesn't truly value you that much.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. You know, when you value somebody, you can have knockdown, drag out type fights, you know, where things get nasty, but it shouldn't be really gnarly all the time. And, you know, people that argue unfairly most of the time, you know, if you're hurt, you might pull some low blows. It happens. If you unfairly argue most of the time, that's a problem. You know, people who generalize and say, you never take out the trash. You always do this to me. Sometimes, you know, you'll vent that old anger at an inappropriate time. But if she's bringing up something you said 6 months ago when you're arguing about who's going to do the dishes, that's a sign of a lack of maturity. She's not going to be able to keep her head when she's working out important stuff.
Yeah. And anytime it's black and white, you know, all the time this, never do that. Again, someone who speaks in those terms can't view reality clearly.
Yeah.
And that version of reality is going to haunt you later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it might just be a penchant for drama, but do you need that? I don't need that.
Right. I can find that on TV.
Exactly. And you know what? You can call her out on it. Sometimes it's a bad habit that can be fixed, especially the you never do this, you always do this. You know, if people say that long enough, they'll believe it. Sometimes you can go, oh, I'm always late. And then they're like, okay, fine, you're not always late, but you're late. Well, you were only late twice this week. But yeah, try not to be so late. You know, it takes the edge off of that, and sometimes it's a little bit silly.
Right. It's kind of in the way that they argue too, mm-hmm. right? Do they dig their heels in when they're clearly wrong, or do they start to bend and come to the middle? Right. If you're in arguments that always end in absolutes and there's never any give, that's a real issue. That's going to be a red flag for something much more troublesome later now.
Yeah. This one comes from one of our female assistant instructors. She said, if she tells you she's crazy, just believe her.
And isn't that instructor crazy?
Yes. So definitely. You definitely want to believe a girl who says she's crazy. Girls very rarely say that about themselves. The ones
it's
that do.
It's not flattering, right? No. It's the equivalent of you telling her that you're a player, right? It's not an attribute that you would consider quality or that you'd want to lead with. So if someone's already leading with that, it's pretty clear that they've probably been called that numerous times and they want to just get that out of the way now.
Yeah, it's not – because what that means is, by the way, here's the warning shot. I can't control this weapon.
Yeah. So later when she's aiming that weapon at your head and she's telling you, I told you I was crazy.
Right.
You can't be like, man, why didn't I listen to that podcast with AJ and Jordan?
This is going to be one of those episodes where the guy's like, you know what? She told me she was and she was right. And I found out, you know, he's like, and that's how I got my windshield smashed. Like Road Trip, where that girl's bashing up that dude's car with a bat. You know, that girl probably told her boyfriend she was crazy, and he said, awesome, crazy chicks are great in the sack, and it cost him a lot of money. If she demands too much of your time too early, like the first few weeks or months, she's demanding time, even when you're like, listen, I'm going to be really, really busy at work, and she's like, I need this, I need this, I need you to set aside this, that's how you know it's too much. If you need a time card for your relationship, it's time to punch out. That doesn't mean don't schedule date nights with your girlfriend. It doesn't mean don't plan stuff for the weekend. But if she's like, you only spent 4 hours with me this week and blah, 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 I don't care if you're busy. You know, you need to prioritize me. This is one of those delicate balances. She might be totally fucking right. But
yeah, I mean, that's one where you definitely bounce it off your friends. Mm-hmm. But demands lead to ultimatums. Mm-hmm. And ultimatums kill relationships. It's very important that you realize that what's demanding now can turn into you need to start doing this or I'm done. She's saying those things, and it may be grounded in reality, which is something that obviously hopefully your friends and your support system can tell you. But if it's not, then it's going to come back even worse on a month or two later when you legitimately don't have those time.
Yeah, it's definitely this is one of those things where the earlier it happens, the more of a red flag it is. If you've been dating somebody for 3 years and they say you don't spend enough time with me, believe them. because it's probably – it's the way that person feels. If you've been dating somebody for 2 and 3 weeks or a month and they say, you don't spend enough time with me, they need a reality check, you're going to have problems moving forward because this is them being tolerant. Again, like you said, AJ, this is their best foot forward, and if they're already crazy needy in the first month, it's not going to get better. Let that sink in. Anything she's doing now, it is not going to get better.
Yeah, their worst foot's going to be a lot worse.
Yes. If they want to make rules about things that you do that they have no business making rules about, like where you go or who you talk to or who you hang out with, or they want to control things like how you dress or how you cut your hair, you know, this has never happened to me personally, but I heard about it from our listener emails. Do you have any experience with this?
Yeah, and every guy has different hobbies or interests, but if she's telling you, hey, I don't want you going to this bar, I don't want you hanging out with these friends, I don't like that Sundays is all football, and if it's something that you genuinely value, again, that's going to be a red flag for ultimatums and overstepping their bounds later in their relationship. Those things that you hold near and dear and are passionate about should not encroach on your relationship and who you're with. If they're already encroaching in the very beginning, it's just going to get worse down the road. Right. And sometimes to the point where she's going to use that as a reason for you to take advantage of you. So she's going to use that as a reason to take advantage of you later. It's very important that we stay rounded and we create those boundaries of, you know, this is where I'm willing to give. This is where I'm not willing to give. And if she's saying who you should hang out with and where you should go, those are never any things that real adult men should sacrifice.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's always so surprising to me because I think I've always sort of had this boundary. I can't stand – if someone's like, you can't go hang out with those guys or like you can't go there, I'm always surprised by that. I had a buddy who a really smart dude, successful guy. Surprisingly, he's dating a girl who does like webcam stuff, which to me is a fucking shock. Like I'm surprised that that's happening. But weirdly and strangely, he's got to go to a bachelor party for one of his best friends in Vegas. And – obviously, when you're at a bachelor party, there's strippers involved. She is like, you can't go. You can't go because there's going to be strippers. And if you go and there's strippers, you know, you're cheating on me. And I'm like, but she's a webcam stripper. What the hell? Maybe that may, I mean, obviously that makes it worse. I feel like a normal girl would be like, you guys are gross. You're going to the strip club. But they would just be like, meh. You know, like a normal girl's like, that's not reality. It's not a thing.
There could be some thing tied to it where she may have been cheated on with an ex with a stripper or someone over across their bounds. But I was just going to bring that up. The one time in my relationship where rules definitely came up was in a bachelor party scenario. And it is troublesome to hear those rules placed later. And obviously you hope that whoever you're with, if they're a significant other, that you trust each other enough and you trust each other's judgment, right? That shows that she doesn't trust your judgment. If she's saying, I don't trust you in this place or with this person, she doesn't think you can make good rational decisions. Is that someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with and potentially procreate with?
Yeah.
Probably not.
You're right. That's a good sign. You know, somebody who's got an insecurity about that. It's different if she can articulate and be like, you know what? I just think it's gross. I totally disapprove, but it's a bachelor party. That's fine. She's allowed to disapprove. She's not allowed to dictate your life. You know, there might be exceptions to this somewhere, but you have to decide whether or not you're cool with that. If she starts saying you can't hang out with AJ because, you know, you come home and you drink a little bit or like, I don't like where you guys go or you stay out too late when you're with him. She can say that, but if you feel like you have to do that or you're going to get in trouble, now you're starting to look like Everybody Loves Raymond or something, like, you know, Ray Romano. That's not cool. Homer Simpson type chump.
And you don't want to be in a situation where you got to sneak around to do actually what you want to do and enjoy the life you want to be leading, right? Again, we're looking at compatibility. And a lot of times we look past these little incompatibilities, which is what red flags are, because the sex is great, the physical's great, maybe the emotional's great, right? Maybe she's really kind and compassionate in other areas and she picks you up. But these incompatibilities at the very beginning, early on in the relationship, just compound and continue to get worse. They don't get better, okay? Incompatibilities pile up. And when they pile up to the point of resentment, things explode.
Speaking of explosions, if the explosion's not that predictable, that's even more of a problem. Like if things are building up and you guys get in a fight, it happens. That's what relationships are. If it is just starts to become like, where the hell did this come from? Like, if you get mood swings that come just without warning and totally confuse the shit out of you, you need to run. And the earlier this happens, the faster you run. There's like a mathematical equation for this somewhere. And this is very common online for those of you guys who are trying to apply this stuff to being online. If she starts freaking out in her third email to you, don't go, well, we should just meet for coffee because maybe this is a miscommunication. You need to be like, you know what? Block list.
Yeah, exactly.
Lennon and McCartney, Jagger and Richards, Watson and Crick, AJ and Johnny. What about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? Well, that's you and Shopify.
That's right, Johnny. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling your own fire merch or promoting your productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
What I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, as well as millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. And AJ, you don't have to just sell your stuff anymore. With Shopify Collective, you can curate products to sell from the brands that you love, giving your customers more variety and your business more sales.
Shopify is your no-excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/charm. Go to shopify.com/charm now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/charm.
Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's kajabi.com/charm.
Go to kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
All right, let's get back to the good stuff. If every one of your friends and family hates your girlfriend, they see something that you don't. Just accept that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. If a wide majority and a diverse majority of people who encounter you in this new relationship see issues, there's issues. Like, those are things that should not come up from everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, remember that Office Space where the guy's like, I just can't get over the feeling that she's cheating on me. And then the neighbor goes, yeah, man, I get that feeling too, dude. Like, huh? If everybody sees that and you don't, you got to accept the fact that your judgment's clouded by boobs or whatever.
Right.
This one, yeah, this is a big one. If they need excessive attention from the opposite sex. Now, that doesn't mean that your girlfriend can't talk to guys, friends, and stuff like that. But if they are flirting constantly, spending a ton of time messaging their friends of the opposite sex, hanging out with friends of the opposite sex, this is a problem. And look at yourself in the mirror with this one as well, guys.
Yeah, I had an experience with this with an ex who basically predominantly had male friends, like very few female friends, and a real inability to connect with her same sex. And I always kind of like glossed it over, like, ah, she's one of the boys, that's great, she's a bit tomboy, she likes a lot of the interests that I like, so I glossed it over. But it was a pretty big red flag that I didn't pay attention to. So I can speak well to this, that if you find that she only really connects with men, there's going to be a pattern that later on in the relationship, she's only attracting more men. And at some point, those other men might become more desirable to you when you're down. And the fact that she can't really get along with women of the same sex, she can't really get along with females and people of the same sex means that there's real insecurity there. There's a huge issue going on. You should never be with someone who can only be friends with a certain type of person or only connects with a certain type of person. And obviously, we teach you guys about how to connect with everyone and how to build a vibrant social circle. So you don't want to be with someone who doesn't have that same ability.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, being that person who needs to flirt with the opposite sex all the time shows neediness. It shows validation seeking. It doesn't mean that you can't be charming or that she shouldn't be charming and a little bit flirty. I think a girl who can flirt her way to a free latte is great. I think it's bad news when she's got to go hang out with dudes that clearly want to bang her all the time. And she's like, I don't know, we're just friends. And you know damn well she knows that she's stringing these guys along, but she likes the attention. Regardless of their loyalty to you, this is a bad sign.
Yeah, because there's clearly something wrong on the inside of her that you as a man, the most important man in her life, can't give her enough masculine attention.
What about if they do things specifically for they're not there, like things they wouldn't do if you were, or things they don't want to tell you about it?
Right. It's a red flag if there's clear behavior changes in your presence and then without your presence. Like if they only feel comfortable going to the nightclub when you're not around, but then when you're around, you're like, hey, let's go to the nightclub. Like, no, let's keep it low key tonight. If they only feel like expressing themselves a certain way, whether it's around their friends or whether it's around their family, and then not that way around you, again, they're withholding something. And that withholding of something, it may not start in the very beginning, but it will build into resentment later.
That's interesting. You know, that's probably pretty hard to spot. I mean, how do you even find out if someone's doing that? Because you see them on Facebook, like hanging out, bottle service, da-da-da, and then you're like, let's go out. And they're like, no, movie night every
exactly.
time.
Yeah. You know, they may love the nightlife on social media, but then don't enjoy the nightlife with you. And they're like, well, that's a little peculiar. Or maybe they're really into doing one activity with their friends, but again, they're shutting you off from that. Anytime someone completely walls you off from a certain aspect of their life and their personality, it's a red flag.
I feel like this has been in movies where it's like, you know, you finally do go to the club where your girlfriend hangs out all the time and they're like, oh yeah, you're so-and-so's boyfriend? Oh man, you know, like, oh, she's like been passed around like a bong at this club, you know, for the last 2 years and you're the only guy who didn't get it. It's like Scotty doesn't know from Eurotrip.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Now, these again have to be taken in a group. These are not something where you find one and you discard a perfectly good relationship. They got to be taken in groups. A lot of these are early warning signs. So if you've been in a relationship for a few years and you see a couple of these, don't panic. It doesn't mean that you need to, you know, dump whoever you're with.
Right. These are trust your gut things, and these are a gut check for you guys. We gave you 20. I don't think anyone's going to break up over any one or two of these mm-hmm. items. But if you're seeing a pattern of a few of these and really strongly, and again, you feel like you're not seeing the whole person or connecting with the whole person, then starting and forming a longer term relationship is going to be very difficult and ultimately going to be a waste of both of your time.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, it's relationships, you learn and you grow from a lot of these, but sometimes you just end up wasting your time by overlooking things. See, that's the thing. You got to be careful not to lie to yourself early on in the relationship, because anything that you choose to overlook here, and that's the key word is choose to overlook, is something that you're probably going to be dealing with for the rest of the relationship. Now, some things might get better as trust and rapport develops, but otherwise, it's probably going to get worse, like we said before.
So if you've listened and you find that we've mentioned four or five things that you're experiencing right now, but in your head you're rationalizing, well, AJ, it's not like that for me.
Right. It's like that for you.
It is like that for you. Trust me. My friends have called me out on this as well. So I've fallen into the same trap of rationalizing away these red flags. And I could tell you on the other side, I kind of wish I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody regrets that. Sometimes you learn that in high school or college. Sometimes you learn it when you're 40 and you've got a house that you've got to cut in half and kids you got to share custody with. You know, you got to trust your gut. If you think something is off, it probably is. You always know more than you think you know. And that's true with pretty much everything, but especially about relationships.
And a lot of what we showed you guys with these clear examples were a lack of maturity, a lack of trust, and a lack of personal responsibility, right? When those three things are happening, run.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you can find out a little bit about past relationships. Again, don't ask a million questions about the ex right off the bat. But if you find out things about past relationships from asking and being very calm with it and not interrogative, especially a little bit more into the relationship, history tends to repeat itself. Now, do they have mature, resolved feelings about their exes, or are they bitter, angry, pissed off, resentful, and they put all of the blame on the other person? Now you're starting to see where these things might seep through. And you got to watch how people make the meaning of difficult situations, both current and past. You know, are they open to learning and growing? Do they take responsibility for past mistakes and situations? Or is it always somebody else's fault and somebody else's issue? Rarely is somebody just sitting there minding their own business and then some crazy person moseys into their life and screws everything up four times in a row for the last 5 years. So basically, we're all at our best in the beginning, like AJ said, and sometimes that excitement, that infatuation can blind you to everything else, and this makes red flags really hard to spot. But now that you're aware and what you think about you've learned from past relationships, you know a lot more than you realize. So staying keen to these red flags now can help you avoid hurt in the future. All right, show feedback and guest suggestions. We rely on you guys to help keep our finger on the pulse. So if you know someone who's a good fit for the show, let us know at jordanh@theartofcharm.com. Boot camp details for our live programs also at theartofcharm.com, and that's where you're going to find links to us on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media as well. If you're listening to this but you're not subscribed in iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, then that needs to change. Getting our shows delivered free to your phone or computer is the best way to make sure you don't miss a thing. You can do that by going to iTunes and searching for The Art of Charm podcast, or by going to theartofcharm.com/iTunes and clicking subscribe. That's really it. And you guys can help us. Subscribe in iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Write something nice and we will love you forever. Just go to itunes.com/theartofcharm and it'll take you right there. When you write us a review, it not only makes us feel proud, but it helps keep us up in the ranks so that other people who can use this information can find the show more easily to get the credible advice that they need. It's also the best way to support the show other than purchasing products and training from us. So tell your friends, because the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to someone else, either in person or shared on the web. Now have a great week, go out there and get social, and leave everything better than you found it.